Historical Sketches, Chapter 1, The Central European Mission. The question has often been asked why Seventh-day Adventists should have chosen Central Europe, with its diversity of languages, as the first field for their missionary operations. Certainly there was nothing, as subsequent reflection will show, which made this field one peculiarly favorable to the proclamation of the present truth. Why, then, should this field have been chosen in preference to that, for instance, of England, which, being the mother country to that in which the message had its birth, had the not inconsiderable advantage of having a common tongue? It would naturally be supposed that Great Britain, which has done so much in the circulation of the Scriptures and the extension of the Gospel, would have been the field earliest sought as the first foreign ground on which to plant the standard of the last great work of reform. It may not be for us to discern why it was not thus, and it certainly would be idle to question the inscrutable providence which permitted it to be otherwise. It will, however, be of interest to note the exterior circumstances which led to this result, and made it almost a matter of course that the men who had charge of the general direction of the work decided upon the early measures which they took in the establishment of this mission. The means which God uses in His work are often those that, to the view of human prudence, could have only a contrary result, and many times He employs for the accomplishment of His purposes agents that have altogether a different work in view from what they are in reality doing. Men lay plans and select what seem to them the best agents for their accomplishment. But God turns their most sagacious designs to confusion, and by His infinite wisdom lays the foundation for the progress of His own work. The light of the third angel's message first began to shine on the continent of Europe. In the countries now comprised within the limits of the Central European Mission, and of those who first received this light, there still remained some as faithful witnesses to the truth, as those who had for years been preaching the great truths of the message must ultimately go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saw them being planted, not by their own efforts, but by the overruling providence of God, among these people of foreign tongue. It was only natural that they should have their interests and sympathies called out to extend a helping hand in the endeavor to carry forward the good work which had thus been commenced. It was not strange, therefore, that the first missionary sent to the Old World should have come to Central Europe, where there were already hearts anxiously inquiring for more light and a better knowledge of the great truths of this last message. It will be of interest to the reader to note the peculiar circumstances which led to this early planting of the truth in this field, and thus to the establishment of the first Seventh-day Adventist mission in Europe. In the year 1864, Elder M.B. Schachowski, a Polish Catholic who had been converted to Protestantism and who, visiting America, had also received the truths of the third angel's message, returned to Europe from America. It had been his desire for some years to come as a missionary of the Seventh-day Adventists, but as there existed certain reasons why it was not thought advisable to entrust him with so important a mission, he received no encouragement from them. Being determined, however, to come, he applied to the First-day Adventists, and when he finally set sail for Europe, it was nominally as their missionary. Doubtless those who employed this zealous, earnest, but unfortunate man little thought that he was to be the agent in planting the Sabbath truth in connection with the doctrine of the second coming of Christ in several countries of Central Europe. And yet such proved to be the result. Elder Schachowski went first to the Piedmont Valleys, where he remained about 14 months, encountering much opposition from the pastors and suffering privations in his work. At the end of this time, he went to Switzerland, where he labored with great energy and perseverance, and established a periodical entitled The Everlasting Gospel, which was published regularly during the period of 2 years. During this time, he preached in different localities, everywhere proclaiming the Sabbath in connection with the other doctrines which he advocated. Among the largest of the companies that accepted the truth through his preaching in Switzerland was that of Tremelin. Several families of those who received the Sabbath in this place are still faithful to the truths of the third angel's message. Financial difficulties and other obstacles in the way of his remaining longer in Switzerland led him in the winter of 1868 to 1869 to go to Romania, where he still continued to propagate the truths of the Sabbath and Second Advent, though under additional difficulties from his lack of knowledge of the Romanian language. Some, however, who received the truth from his efforts in these places have remained faithful to it, and it is through their adherence to the faith that efforts have been made toward the propagation of the truth in Romania. Passing in silence the unfortunate experience which especially marked the later career of this energetic but misguided man, we simply record his death, which took place at a hospital in Vienna in the early part of the year 1876. But the seeds of truth which he had been instrumental in scattering did not die with him. Naturally enough, from his relation to the First Day Adventists, while propagating a truth which they bitterly opposed, he avoided giving to his converts any clue on the one hand to the people from whom he received a partial support, or on the other hand to those from whom he received his knowledge of the Sabbath truth. But even during the period of his labors, some in Switzerland who had become interested in the great truths of the message learned by accident the address of our office of publication in Battle Creek, corresponded with our people, and by means of this correspondence and of our periodicals became acquainted with our work in America. As they learned of the work there, they became desirous of connecting themselves with it, and sent appeals for help to our brethren there.